Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday Eve. It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. And I welcome back my good friend Dominic P. Salvia, the co-devil of the hour. Welcome back, little buddy.
Hey, Crudy, good to be back. Fancy Brian on the board, our fair audience. Thank you so much. Happy hour.
Hey, Fancy Brian, do me a favor. Just get that Donald Trump on Laura Ingraham sound. Get it ready for one more play, just in case Dominic missed it last night.
Oh, we're ready to go.
Dominic, I don't know if you saw, but apparently some breaking news on the Laura Trump show. The Laura Ingraham. Laura Trump is the daughter-in-law.
Who can really tell anymore?
Laura Ingraham is the Nordic woman that, you know, was texting Mark Meadows during January 6th and, you know, telling her audience something entirely different. But she's been genuinely and almost entirely supportive of the former president, right, Donald Trump?
Yes.
Until last night. And she had to correct the man, sort of give him a truth check in real time on the show. And Fancy Brian, let's play the clip, and then we'll let you respond to it in real time, Dom. Here is the former president, Donald Trump, the topic Ukraine. And, of course, there's this other little side note, Dom. American forces are now amphibiously attacking the Russians, according to former President Trump. Please play the sound.
Well, I think the whole thing, again, would have never happened. It shouldn't happen. And it's a very sad thing. But you know what's also very dangerous is you told me about the amphibious attack by Americans. You shouldn't be saying that because you and everybody else shouldn't know about it. They should do that secretly, not be doing that through the great Laura Ingraham. They should be doing that secretly. Nobody should know that, Laura. And you know,
those are the Russian amphibious landing.
No, I thought you said that we were sending people in.
No, I did not. That would be news.
You know what? Hey, Laura, that's all we need. That'll be next, okay? Now, we ought to protect our own borders. You know, we ought to get to the southern border and start protecting the southern border. But it's a very terrible situation. It's a situation that...
That's probably enough. But you get
the Trump's
point.
Trump's analysis, of course, hearing it wrong, and Laura corrected him. Okay. But his solution is to up troops on the southern border? That's what Donald Trump would do?
Well, I mean, Dominic, you heard Donald Trump say the Americans have amphibiously attacked the Russians. And you knew instinctively, I suspect, that's not true. That did not happen because you pay a modest amount of attention to, let's call it, the headlines. And Joe Biden, the president, the current president, I know, you know, the last guy doesn't think this guy's very legitimate, the whole rigging and all that kind of stuff. But he said over and over again, we're not fighting a war with Russia. We, the American people. That hasn't happened. And, you know, then Trump talks about the specter of future war. And then there's this other side note, you know, with the Biden administration, if they were going to break this news to the world, would they use the platform that is Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News?
The great Laura Ingraham. Get it right, Crew.
Do you think they'd go to her first?
I don't think so.
So my speculation is, Tom, all these righties that are so MAGA-loving, Trump-loving, you know, he's the strong one. He's the sharp one. Joe Biden, he's feeble-minded. He's old. Napping his way through an international conflict to hear him tell it. And I say, malarkey, man, because your guy doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. I mean, how can you be so far off? You were getting national security briefings a year ago.
Was he? He may have been getting them, but did he actually listen? Did he absorb any of the information? I would suggest that that doesn't happen.
Well, I bet the septic tank absorbed a little bit of the information. But yeah.
And I mean, the rest he put in his pocket and perhaps have him in boxes at Mar-a-Lago.
But I mean, Laura Ingraham had to, you know, basically prompt him like he was daughter and grandfather at Thanksgiving dinner going on some wild conspiracy theory. And this is their best and brightest. He's the cult leader.
This is the guy that used a Sharpie to change the course of a hurricane. I mean, are you really surprised? I'm actually a little surprised that, you know, the right would even try to correct. Because I think the only reason it may have been happening is because he seemed to imply that maybe Laura Ingraham was doing something wrong by, you know, letting the cat out of the bag.
Geraldo style.
You're right.
If someone's going to let the world know about American troop movements, it's going to happen on Foxy News.
844-967-2789. I know we have some callers stacking up, but I saw a piece prior to getting on the radio here, and I want to read a few paragraphs from it. New York Times, Anton Troyanovsky, if I may, if you will indulge me, because this was kind of news to me. I want to share with everybody. According to Anton, Russians thought they knew their president. They were wrong, and by Thursday, it appeared too late to do anything about it. For most of his 22-year rule, Putin presented an aura of calm determination at home, of an ability to astutely manage risk and navigate the world's biggest country through treacherous shoals. His attack on Ukraine negated that image and revealed him as an altogether different leader, one dragging the nuclear superpower he helms into a war with no foreseeable conclusion, one that by all appearances will end Russia's attempts over its three post-Soviet decades to find a place in a peaceful world order. Russians awoke in shock after they learned that Mr. Putin, in an address to the nation that aired before 6 a.m., had ordered a full-scale assault against what Russians of all political stripes often refer to as their brotherly nation. There was no spontaneous pro-war jubilation. Instead, liberal-leaning public figures who for years tried to compromise and adapt to Putin's creeping authoritarianism found themselves reduced to posting on social media about their opposition to the war they had no way to stop. Other Russians expressed themselves more openly. From St. Petersburg to Siberia, thousands took to city streets chanting, "No to war!" Clips posted on social media showed, despite an overwhelming presence by police officers. OVD Info, a rights group, said that more than 1,700 people were arrested across the country. And in Moscow's foreign policy establishment, where analysts overwhelmingly characterized Putin's military buildup around Ukraine as an elaborate and astute bluff in recent months, many admitted on Thursday that they had monumentally misjudged a man they had spent decades studying. "Everything that we believed turned out to be wrong," said one such analyst. "I don't understand what motivations, the goals, or the possible results," said another. "What is happening is very strange," a third analyst. "I've always tried to understand Putin, but now," she said, "the usefulness of logics seemed at a limit. He has become less pragmatic and more emotional." On state television, Putin's most powerful propaganda tool, the Kremlin tried to project an air of normalcy. The state-run news media characterized Thursday's invasion as not a war, but a, quote, "special military operation limited to eastern Ukraine." Mr. Putin was shown meeting with the visiting prime minister of Pakistan as though he were still shrewdly carrying on his day-to-day business. "This is not the beginning of the war," said Maria Zakharova, the foreign ministry's spokeswoman, said on television. "Our desire is to prevent developments that could escalate into a global war." And Kurdi, meanwhile, Russia's stock market plummeted by 35% and ATMs ran short of dollars. On the country's internet, still mostly uncensored, Russians saw their vaunted military sow carnage in a country in which millions of them had relatives and friends. And it goes on from there. New York Times. So, you know, the spark, the reaction, 1,700 so far, probably much more than that now arrested. There are some people that are not really down with this. And I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days. When you're a guy like Putin, and I'm not sure if it was his isolation from his COVID bubble that, you know, kind of made him even more whack. But if you think the guy's about power and money, I mean, if you were betting against selling short the Russian stock market or selling short even this morning. Now, granted, the U.S. stock market has rebounded a bit. You just made a crap ton of money. Oil's going up. You know who has lots of oil? Russia. I mean, I just have to wonder. I'd love to see some analysis of where the money's been flowing in these different world markets.
Well, I sure do hope Pooty Poot's not heavy in Bitcoin, because that's crashing. The cryptocurrency is not doing so well, although they might be the currency of choice during the sanctions. I read something about that.
It might be all they have left.
Something else I found very troubling, and I had a fine guest earlier in the show, Dom, Harvey Wasserman. He's a journalist, a author, a Democratic advocate, and Harvey talked about Chernobyl 2.0. Yep. He published a piece at the Progressive yesterday, joined us on air today, and Chernobyl is now in the hands of Russian forces. The initial reporting I had read is Russia destroyed Chernobyl. Now, understand, this is effectively a nuclear waste dump at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a garbage dump of radioactivity.
Well, they did such a good job with it last time they had it, so, you know, what could possibly go wrong?
Another million dead or perhaps more? That was the fear that Harvey had, is just simply shelling this area could create a radioactive plume that would go throughout Europe, starting probably with Ukraine and then obviously going potentially into Russia. But it depends on which way the wind's blowing. So Chernobyl, now in Russian hands, what could possibly go wrong? I ask you occasionally on this fine program, what's the worst that could happen, Dom?
Well, Crudy, as it was Elise Stefanik, the number three Republican, said today, quote, after just 1 year of weak, feckless, and an unfit president of the United States and commander-in-chief, the world is less safe. Rather than peace through strength, we are witnessing Joe Biden's foreign policy of war through weakness. For the past year, our adversaries around the world have been assessing and measuring Joe Biden's leadership on the world stage, and he has abysmally failed on every metric.
I guess Elise Stefanik, number three Republican in the House, I believe.
Yes.
I guess she forgets it was just, what, a year and a half ago that Trump was trying to bring Russia back to the G7, force feed the world, you know, the peaceful version of Putin. And I hear these conservatives talk about, well, it never would have happened under Trump's watch. No, Trump was doing an inside job. Come back with us. More devils. We'll go to the phones next. 844-967-2789.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
It sounds interesting to me.